Somalia won't be the first place American troops have taken on a humanitarian mission, but this time they may have to use force to carry it out. My guest Michael Clare has written extensively about the American military and low-intensity conflicts around the world. He's the defense correspondent for The Nation. He's also an associate professor of peace studies and world security at Hampshire College in Amherst. I asked him how he would suggest negotiating peace in a country with no government.
I think that this has to be done by people who are familiar with the country, who can go out into the neighborhoods and identify the leaders and find ways of bringing them together. It's a very different kind of diplomacy than we're accustomed to doing, where you go to the head of state and to the foreign minister and talk at that level. This is called for a much more tentative and a lot more patience. It's the kind of work that UN mediators have long been skillful at doing, and very quietly behind the scenes talking to local leaders and trying to bring them together. These kinds of diplomatic skills are mostly unfamiliar to us.
Now, I understand you got a call recently from the Army War College, and they're interested in finding out more about peace studies and conflict resolution.
That's right. I think it's dawning upon people in the military and in the military academies that their role is going to be very different in the post-Cold War era, that it's going to involve a lot more peacekeeping operations, multinational humanitarian rescue, and conflict resolution. These are not skills that they have trained for in the past or are familiar with, and it's natural for them to reach out to people in the conflict resolution and peace studies community who have those skills and can help them.
What do you think Somalia represents in the post-Cold War world?
I think Somalia is a model for the kinds of conflicts and crises we're going to see on a recurring basis. The breakdown of government authority, a lot of internal factional fighting, ethnic wars, in which there'll be no clear division between our side and their side, as we've always had in the Cold War period. We always were able to identify, or at least Washington and Moscow could always identify our side and their side. We're not going to be seeing that very much again. It's going to be much more ambiguous and cloudy, and our interests are going to be in promoting stability and peace and ending the violence. And Somalia represents a test case of that, and we're seeing how difficult and how challenging that's going to be.
What is the connection between the anarchy in Somalia now and the end of the Cold War?
In terms of its origins, we can see that the Cold War period had two impacts on this. On one hand, the Cold War was a system that led to the flooding of the entire Third World with weapons, as the U.S. and the Soviets competed with one another for the loyalty of Third World governments. And Somalia is a very good case because it went back and forth as a client or ally of the Soviet Union and the United States. Each time it changed hands, more weapons were poured into these areas. And those are the weapons that our troops are going to have to face. The end of the Cold War also means the end of superpower control over allies and clients. And we're finding in many of these cases that there were tribal or religious or ethnic animosities that were kept under control or at least suppressed for a time that are now bursting out all over, whether it's in Yugoslavia or the Caucasus region of the Soviet Union or in East Africa.
Do you think that the American troops will run into situations that they haven't faced before or that they're unprepared for?
Yes, I think this is going to be very difficult for our troops. They've been trained to bring the massive amounts of firepower to bear that they have at their disposal and to win quickly through the decisive use of force. That's precisely what we saw in Operation Desert Storm. They're not very well trained or equipped to deal with the minimum use of force, the tentative use of force, to single out that one sniper who's in a community of civilians who are at great risk to firepower. We can't bring in the helicopter gunships and the artillery and blast away at these neighborhoods because we'll kill thousands of innocent civilians. So we're not very well trained at this microscopic use of force. But this is kind of what we're going to have to learn.
Do you support sending U.S. troops to Somalia?
I support sending in a multinational force to Somalia in which the Americans play a role as a logistical backup force, where the work of going into the streets would be done by people of many nations and many races, in which the U.S. would only be a part. I don't support the U.S. military acting more or less unilaterally to be the entire force. I think that sets a very bad precedent.
What is our interest in Somalia and in the former Yugoslavia? Is it purely one of compassion, of humanitarian concern, or is there something beyond that that we're talking about too?
Well, I think a humanitarian concern is present here. I certainly think that American leaders are moved by the terrible suffering that's going on. But I think there's also another factor here, and that is redefining America's global role in the post-Cold War era. For the past 45 years, our international role has been defending the West against communist aggression and expansionism. That's who we were. Now we're in the process of taking on what might be a new mission, equally ambitious, and that's protecting the stable, ordered parts of the world against the spreading chaos in other parts of the world. And this could be a lifetime mission for the military, because I think there are many of these potential threats out there. And I think it's a very major change in who we are. I think it needs to be debated by the public and by Congress, because I don't think we know what we're getting into here. But yes, Somalia is very much a new mission for the military, and one that could be replicated many, many times.
What do you think President Bush's intentions were in initiating this this action?
Well, of course, I don't know what's going on in his head, but I would suspect it's a combination of humanitarian impulse and a sense that this is his last moment on the great stage of history to leave some famous event. But I think there's also a subliminal sense in which he understands that this is a dry run for the kinds of operations that the military is going to be facing in the years ahead. And he is committed to retaining America's status as the world's number one superpower. And this is what we're going to be doing if we continue to adhere to that mission for ourselves, that image of ourselves, as this kind of police operation. So I think he sees it as a test case, a dry run, to test out the kinds of operations this new police function will entail in the post-Cold War era.
Thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, I'm very glad to be able to do so.
Michael Clare is an associate professor of peace studies and world security at Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts.